This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, that's me, trying very hard to multitask today and already off to a horrible start at it. Thank you for bearing with me for that brief yawn that I gave over the air. Rick Moore here today on Sunday morning, the 21st of June. Happy Father's Day to those who are with us, including our guest, Jim Duncan. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you so much to your wife and your kids for allowing you to leave the house and share Father's Day with us here at the Wake Up Call.
Thank you and them very much.
We are going to be talking real estate with Jim, quite the man in the real estate industry here in our local area, Nest Realty.
Yes, sir.
That's your new place.
Yes, sir.
Since I guess you were new there last time you visited us.
We were. We opened up, I think, in February, March of this year. And we finally have our office space, too. So it's great.
What's different about, because you were with Century 21
I was with Century 21 Manly here in town for a while, and now Nest is it's a neat new brokerage, doing things a little bit differently from a representation standpoint and marketing as well.
So we'll be glad to give them a shout out for letting you be here with us as well. So Jim Duncan, Nest Realty. We're going to be talking about the real estate market. We're going to be doing a little local action. We'll be touching on a couple of national questions as well, such as tax incentives and foreclosure numbers. But I'm going to see if I can actually reach my dad here, if I can remember which buttons to push to do all this. That button and that button and those seven buttons. And yes, now I have a dial tone. I hope everybody out there is thinking of their father in some nice way.
Hello?
Happy Father's Day!
Oh, thank you, Rick.
It's, that had a distinct Santa sound to it, didn't it, Rusty? It's amazing how that works. Well, happy Father's Day to you, Dad.
Thanks. Love you, too.
Are you doing anything fun today on your Father's Day?
Yes. I'm going to get a little round of golf in this afternoon.
Are you going to let Mom beat you again?
No. I'll have to cheat. I'll kick it out of the rough so I can beat.
I thought golf was all about the personal, whatever.
It is until your wife starts beating you. then you have to resort to whatever it takes.
It's that important to you to win?
I enjoy playing with your mom. She's a very good player.
And which is why she occasionally wins. It's a beautiful day to go play, though.
Yes, pretty nice down here. It's warm, but nice breeze blowing.
Do you have any good Father's Day gifts in hand yet?
I do. I have a new golf bag and a very nice card this morning. And your sister Kathy and your sister Karen are having a cookout this afternoon, so I'll get some nice food and some nice, we'll have dessert, of course.
Of course. My father is, how tall are you? 6'2", 6'3"? 6'2", weighs about 175 pounds, and eats ice cream after every meal, including breakfast.
Not every meal.
You didn't pass that DNA off to the rest of us, but thank you for trying.
Gave it my best.
Dad, we're going to be talking real estate here today, and I know my father is an attorney who spends an incredible amount of time in the real estate industry with contracts, et cetera. The biggest topic in your terms, not being a realtor, but being the attorney side of things, the biggest issue that the economy has had in your real estate world?
Well, I mean, I think obviously the, with the collapse of the financial markets in real estate, it's very difficult to get loans. So that's one big impact. They're not easily obtainable right now. Secondly, there's a lot of housing on the market as a result of foreclosures. And so the the lending institutions, the banks that have these properties in the inventory that they foreclosed on now need to liquidate those properties and turn them back into cash and income-producing assets. So they are willing to cut prices and put those houses back on the market at less than what, you know, if you had a house to sell, I had a home I wanted to sell, they will be willing to sell at a price below what I think the market is. So that tends to depress the prices, and so the result is that appraisals come in low, and it's harder to get financing because, you know, the home that the owner wants to sell for $300,000 doesn't get appraised for $300,000 because there are all these lower-priced houses been sold as a result of the foreclosure industry. So the whole real estate cycle gets depressed.
Well, Dad, we're going to take the smarts of my father and continue with that conversation for the rest of the hour. But I want you to stop talking work and go have a great round of golf. Whether you win or not, just have a good time and enjoy the weather so that you can tell me all your wonderful Father's Day stories starting next week.
I'm looking forward to that more than anything.
All right. Have a great day, Dad. I'll talk to you later as well.
Okay.
Love you very much.
Love you, Rick. Bye-bye.
All right. That's my dad starting off his Father's Day. I think he went to church to make himself feel good and to set a good example for the family. And now he's off for the enjoyable part of the day. WNRN Sunday morning wake-up call here. A few minutes after 11 on June 21st. Let me take a moment and remind everyone it is another Movie Choice weekend here at WNRN, and a big one. We want to send all of you to the big blockbusters at Regal Cinemas this summer. You'll have your chance to pick from, Star Trek, Imagine That, Night at the Museum 2, and a bunch more. You can choose to go to the Brothers Bloom at Visualite or Vinegar Hill if you'd like. The Movie Choice weekend runs through tonight from Regal Cinemas and WNRN. Your station with more ways to win. And that goes along to the folks down in Lovingston 94.7 checking us out. So, but let's jump into the conversation with Jim Duncan, the real estate man here for the Wake Up Call, also a big blogger in our area. Jim, now my father, as I said, does a lot of real estate work, but he's down in the Tidewater area.
Right.
Were the things that he said, do they apply here? Because I think many people feel that the Charlottesville, Albemarle area, and it even stretches out now to Nelson and into the Palmyra, as the Charlottesville people need a place to live, to come drive. Do those same things apply, or we continue to be our little hole?
No, I think we are... We're certainly subject to some of the same things that your father was talking about with some of the reduction in property values, some of the appraisal issues that we're having, some of the neighborhoods are being affected significantly by some of the issues that he was discussing. I mean, I think that the appraisal issue is something that's becoming more and more of a concern, not just with properties not appraising, but with the process. Personally, I've had a couple properties that have not appraised this year. And it's due in part to, one, the fact that we have not had as many sold as we would like.
And when you say not appraising, you mean nowhere near
Well,
the
no,
expected?
I mean, not even nowhere near. I mean, within a couple $1,000. You know, if a house is valued at, like, round numbers, I'm an English major, if the purchase price is $100,000, it might appraise for $97,000. And in that situation, the buyer, you know, has to come with the cash to make that difference up. Or the seller has to come down, or there's some negotiating that goes on. But often what one thing that happened to me this year is that it was not, in my opinion, a good appraisal, in that the appraiser did not do a good job. And as evidenced by the fact that while we were under contract, there was a backup offer in place that ultimately took the primary position when our deal fell apart. And it was frustrating for all parties because it just was not, in my opinion, a very good appraisal. So the buyer wanted to buy the house, the seller wanted to sell it. We'd agreed on a price, but the appraiser had a different opinion because they did not look at the appropriate comps.
But does anybody make that complaint if the appraisal is noticeably over what is being asked? I mean, so what I'm saying is, there's a complaint if it's $100,000 is what's wanted and maybe even what's offered,
right,
but the appraisal is only for 95. Does anybody make the complaint if the appraisal's for 95 and what's asked is for 95 but what the appraiser says 100?
Not often. And really, in that case, the only one that finds out about it is the buyer and the buyer's side, and the seller never knows. So it doesn't put its way in between a transaction. So in that situation, it's not as relevant, in my opinion, because, you know, the purchase price is ultimately what a buyer and seller decide upon. And so you have a third party that, again, it's a vastly different world now, because you don't have, in some situations, appraisers who are from our local market area because of this new thing called the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, which puts a third party in between the transactional process. So, I mean, your point is valid in that people generally don't complain if the appraisal comes in high, but in that situation, it doesn't impact people to the same degree as it does when it comes in low. Ultimately, I just want a fair and honest appraisal done by somebody who knows what they're doing. And I think that's really the goal of most everybody that I work with.
All right. So that's, I guess, a little wider spectrum here conversation about the area real estate market. Number of homes for sale, is that up or down? Are homes sitting on the market for a short or long period of time? Where do we stand now in terms of this roller coaster that most people have seen the real estate market in?
Well, looking at the numbers, we have, using the May numbers, about 15% fewer homes are on the market versus this time last year, and about 20-some-odd percent fewer homes under contract marked as contingent in the MLS. So I think that we are fighting for, and we being the market, are fighting for equilibrium, where we have that balance of number of homes on the market versus the number of homes that are being purchased. I think that we are struggling to find that equilibrium, and I think that it's something that we're still working our way through. Homes that, one of the things that I've been trying to preach, and as well as a lot of other realtors, and it's not shilling or selling, you know, solely for our own purposes, is to get the fact out there that homes absolutely are selling. And the ones that are selling are the ones that are priced effectively from day one. I wrote a story, published it on Friday on my blog, where I said that homes that are priced to sell generally go under contract in 30 days or less. And that if you don't price it in order to sell in 30 days or less, you may very well be in no man's land. You know, you may be looking at, 30, 60, 90, 180 days on the market. So it's something that we're struggling to find enough sellers who are in a position to price it effectively. But market wide, we're down in number of homes in the inventory, and I think that's a really, really good thing. That's tied to a lot of things, not least the fact that we don't have as much new construction going on right now, which is a good thing.
11:14 here on the Wake Up Call at WNRN. Jim Duncan here in the studio today as we talk about real estate in our area, Jim Nest Realty, and also has his own blog. Toss out that website.
RealCentralVA.com. And one thing on that, though, everything that we talk about today, I'll throw up a post probably late this evening or tomorrow that captures a lot of what we discussed in addition to the podcast, so people can see the links of stuff that we're discussing.
Yeah, Sean's not here today, so dial up. We'll answer the phone directly. Be polite. Don't take advantage of that. So the podcast will take an extra day or two to appear on SevillePodcast.com, but it will be up there hopefully by Monday night or Tuesday morning. So back to real estate. Jim, you say pricing the home to sell within 30 days.
Right.
Does that mean this is what I'd like to get, but I guess I better sell it for this? Or, you know, how do you come to that dollar figure? Because everybody, you know, hey, I have a used car I want to sell. This is what I'd like to get. But let me go to that blue book and say, all right, it's got some scratches on the hood. And you know what? I really don't want to clean all the hay straw stuff out of the trunk. You know, how do you get with that number?
First is from a seller's point of view, you need to have the house be as close to perfect as you can possibly make it. Because there, again, the buyers are looking at numerous properties. So you need to make sure that your house is going to stand out from a presentation standpoint, but also from a pricing standpoint. And one of the ways that I personally do this is I do a very thorough data-based market analysis that tries to pull the emotions out of it. And it's been said for years now, what a seller needs to make is irrelevant. So if they owe 120 and it's worth 100, you know, it needs to go on the market about 97 or 95. So I think that you need to price it aggressively and comparatively to the rest of the stuff on the market. When I do my analyses, I look at the number of sold comps and I look at the valuations of those, but I also look at it in the context of the competition that you're facing and the number of houses that went under contract that are similar. So from a pricing standpoint, it really has to be based on data and context of the market, because if you don't price it that way, you're really going to be in looking for a long time on the market.
979-0919 877-WNRN Rocks. It's a toll-free number. Obviously, this conversation is not strictly from the Charlottesville Albemarle local dial-up area. So 1-877-WNRN Rocks, 979-0919 for questions to Jim Duncan about the real estate market. Jim, here's one that came in as we started. What does the number of days on the market mean? I mean, you said price it so that it's only on the market for 30 days, or be prepared for it to be on the market a lot longer. What does that mean, not just for that individual, but when trying to figure out all the numbers on the market and what that says in a grander scale?
Well, I think that the first thing is that when looking at the days on market, use it as a component to the buyer's equation of whether the property is worth X or not. But days on market is certainly something that buyers are absolutely looking at. It's one of the primary things that I have on my real estate search page. Is the number of days on market. And people want to see, if they see that the house on the market for 190 days, they're going to think either one, there's something wrong with it, or two, it's way overpriced, and three, the seller may not be in a position to reduce their price to a more marketable level. So the buyers are absolutely looking at that. There are numerous debates over whether it matters or not, but in my opinion, it absolutely does, because it affects the buyer's perception of the valuation of the property. So people look at the days on market, and they look at how long it's been on and how short it's been on, because buyers today are, in my opinion, are far, far more prepared and need to be to move quickly on a property, because a house that's been on the market for 7 days that's really well priced, in my opinion, is probably primed to go into contract in the next 7 to 15 days. So days on market is something that is crucial to the marketing of property, and it's crucial for buyers and sellers to be aware of.
All right, so that's for the individual home.
Right.
But what does it mean when you look at how many homes did you say were on the market currently?
So I don't have that number in front of me.
All right, let's say there's 2,000.
Right.
All right. So what does that tell you about the Central Virginia market based on the number of, whether it's a high number or a low number for homes in general?
Well, I pulled it up real quick. Right now in the Charlottesville MSA, we have about 2,700 homes, and the days on market is about 110 is the average days on market.
That seems high.
It does seem high, but also, and I really hate to say this out loud, but I don't entirely trust the MLS to be a good indication, because there are ways to, not necessarily with malice, but ways to manipulate those numbers.
Hang on, caller.
That will certainly impact people's perception. But I think that, you want the average days on market to really be 45, 60 days. But again, those numbers don't take into account. The 111 is actually, in my opinion, probably low, because a lot of new construction gets dropped into the MLS. It's already been pre-sold, and so their days on market is zero when it's already been sold. So I think that the answer really is the aggregate numbers, I think, are less important for a buyer and seller, or anybody looking at the market to look at. Because it really comes down to what the individual house and neighborhood and school district, et cetera, are doing. And the only way to do that honestly and accurately is to pull the data individually each time. Because those numbers are, again, not through malice, but through a fault of the system, are probably skewed one way or the other.
1121 here on the wake-up call. Nope. See, that caller didn't hang on. That's what happens when you don't have somebody out front to answer the phone and patch you through. So dial back, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Let me give you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly cloudy today, Highs 82 to 87, just upper 70s in the valley. Partly cloudy tonight, lows 60 to 65. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. Right now, there's a cloud or two across the listening area. 80 in the valley, 80 in Lynchburg, 86 in Richmond, 83 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, and let's thank our friends at Alt Energy of Charlottesville for designing and installing solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems are now practical and reliable and can pay for themselves in just a few years while reducing your personal carbon footprint. You can also make a difference by walking, cycling, or using public transportation when possible, or shower instead of taking a bath. More information at altenergyincorporated.com. And WNRN also wants to remind you, next Saturday is the third annual Artini Dance Party to benefit Charlottesville's 2nd Street Gallery. There'll be DJs spinning. Your attendance will guarantee that the gallery can continue to celebrate art and artists for another year. That's Artini next Saturday to benefit 2nd Street Gallery. More can be found at Artini3.com. And stay tuned to WNRN for your chance to win tickets to Artini. All right, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I, for the moment, have free hands to answer the phone if you want to dial up with your question. Jim, one of the big words used in real estate for the past year has been foreclosure.
Yep.
Certainly that plays a part in what's going on in our area. How is our area doing in terms of foreclosures, some of the numbers? And then there's a particular question, I think, that we got on what to do with the foreclosure. So,
right. I think that first and foremost, we need to look at it in context of the national numbers. And there's a story I'll put up later that a friend of mine wrote saying that three states account for half of the country's foreclosures. You know, California and Florida and Nevada have over half of the foreclosures in the U.S. So pulling that context, out of the equation, we're not that bad. We absolutely still have foreclosures that are going on in our market, and unfortunately there's no one way to search them. And RealtyTrack is one of the largest national search tools for foreclosures, but they're not often accurate and they're not often up to date. And really, for me, one of the best ways that I track it is reading the Hooks page every week, because they actually put people out there at the courthouses to check the foreclosure notices.
The Hook, who underwrites on this program.
How about that?
Amazing how that works.
So I think that, the gist of it is that we do have foreclosures in our market, but it's not nearly as bad as people might think. In my opinion, I think that we may see more coming down the line in the next 6 to 9 months. But it's certainly not something that people should be afraid of from a market perspective.
Are you seeing more particular type of foreclosures? Like Charlottesville and in the close ring of Albemarle County went through this big phase of where old apartments were turned into new townhomes or some other
condos.
Word. Condos, yes. And for those of us who have been in town long enough know that they were formerly apartments.
Right.
Are you seeing more of those versus individual homes? Is there any sort of one brand of real estate that is having this problem?
And that's a really good question, and it's something I'll pull some data together and throw up next week. But generally, there's been no real trend line, in my opinion, that of the houses or condos under 120 or 150,000 are seeing more. I think that we're starting to see foreclosures are spreading to the entire price range. From 85 to 700, 750, you're seeing some foreclosures. But I think that, there's one that popped up the other day, in Crozet for a townhouse. And the foreclosure price that's on the market is 190. And that same type of townhouse sold in 06 for 265. So I think that that's an indication that there's still some built-in decline, perhaps, in the market overall. So again, it's not, there's no real good trend line of, the bulk of the properties are in the 150K price range, or the bulk of them are in 650K. It's really pretty much a widespread equal opportunity problem.
dial us up at the station to ask your question or make your comment. There's also the instant message on our AOL site, WNRN Studio, the AOL instant message, 979-0919. Jim Duncan here, local realtor at Nest Realty, also at Real Estate. No, that's not right.
RealCentralVA.com.
RealCentralVA.com, where his blog is full of information, actually quite entertaining. Here's a message that came through. Our specialty homes or developments, and the green, the eco type, selling better than others?
There's certainly a buzz about the green homes and the eco-friendly
properties.
Do we
even have any in this area? I know that there were one or two built over on, like, 10th Street.
There are
by the architecture school.
No, there are a bunch. There's the Eco Mod. There's which is one or two. There's the River Bluff development. There are the Earthcraft, certainly branded home, is becoming one of the more prominent base levels of construction. So the Earthcraft is really branching out throughout the entire marketplace, and that's raising the level of construction to a better base quality. But yeah, I think that the, I mean, it's actually really interesting. The only two developments that I know of in the Charlottesville area that have fiber optic internet, Fios, are the Bundoran Farm development in Southern Albemarle and Belvedere, which is right off Rio Road. So if you want high speed internet, go to one of the green developments. But no, you're seeing people are much more concerned with energy usage, and you're seeing people are looking away from the 3,500 to 4,500 square foot home. And they're recognizing that 1,800 to 2,300 may be about as much as they need and or want. So I don't have any metrics by which to accurately say these types of green homes are selling better and faster, but they are, in my opinion, certainly better positioned to take advantage of the current climate. With gas prices rising, with energy costs projected to go up in the future, I think that people are absolutely more concerned with, you know, the level of insulation, the R value of the insulation, the types of windows, reclaimed hardwoods, and all these sorts of things come together to really put forth a quality product. And people are asking these questions. They want to know, how much insulation is going in, what type of insulation. Is the fiberglass, is it the blown in? What's the level of warranty? Is it a higher SEER rating for the HVAC? It's people are, I think it goes back to two things. One, buyers are far more educated about what they're buying, and they're asking more questions. And also, part B of that would be that they have more time to consider their purchasing decision. And two, the energy costs are absolutely impacting people's consideration of buying a home. Because of the recession, people are budgeting. They're actually asking, well, gosh, how much does it cost to heat and cool this house? And I think that that's something that is indicative of a real, a fundamental shift of people's buying decisions. Because they're slated to live in these homes now for 4, 7, 10, 15 years. Versus 18 months to 36 months is what we saw in the boom time. So I think that it's yes, green homes, in my opinion, are better positioned. No, I don't think that they're necessarily selling better, but they are putting themselves in a position to do better for the quality of life, short-term, long-term, and also from a resale perspective.
WNRN Wake Up Call with Jim Duncan here in the studio today talking about the real estate market. And we also want to take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be on air today. They're encouraging you to discover the outdoor adventures right on your doorstep at area state and national parks this summer. The staff at your local Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can help you with camping supplies and maps and guides and even suggestions for excursions. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. You can find them at Wintergreen and in Richmond on West Broad Street and the Chesterfield Town Center. So, big shout-out thanks to Blue Ridge Mountain Sport. National parks are free this weekend?
Yep.
For dads or for anybody?
Just for anybody.
Jim, you said something about people looking for or not being as excited and concerned about the larger home. Does that mean that the larger homes are spending more time, number of days on the market like we chatted about a minute ago?
That is a fantastic question.
I'm rocking with the good questions so far.
I have no idea, but I'll find out. No, that's a great question. I think that people look for, I think that you're going to look back in 7 to 10 years and see that the homes that are 4,000 to 7,000 square feet are really dinosaurs within our market. So I think that's a really outstanding question. I'll write a story about that next week because I think there's probably some merit to that. So sorry, I don't have an answer for you.
We got a question from a caller. Actually, we have a question from a person in the studio.
Hey, Mr. Duncan, I just had a question. I don't know if this is even your department, but I received a registered letter this week in the mail. And what had happened, my mortgage company had sold my loan to another company and never missed a payment. Now they're telling me that I owe them like $5,000 or they're going to foreclose on my house. So, I mean, I'm just kind of curious, is that even legal? Is it a scam, you think, or what are your thoughts on that?
Wow. Wow.
Is that true, Rusty, or are you just asking a darn good question? True stuff.
I have no idea. That's my gut reaction is that sounds like fraud. But the honest answer is I have no idea. I know that there are certainly now that Congress is looking into some foreclosure scams, and they're looking into people who are taking advantage of this market. And you know,
so it's possible.
It's possible it's a scam. It's possible it's real. If you haven't missed a payment, I would say probably not so much. I would call your original lender with whom you had the mortgage before. Speak with somebody there if you can, and call the second mortgage company to whom it was sold and find out from them. Because it happens all the time that a mortgage is sold from one company to another. I've had it happen at the closing table. But they have to, one, the original lender has to give you notice and the second lender has to give you notice as well. And I think it's like 90 or 120 days, some arbitrary number whereby the original lender has to accept and pass through your mortgage payment. So, I don't know, but it's certainly asking some better questions.
Well, Rusty, you have to keep us up to date on that. Jim, talking about fraud, which I guess the immediate reaction to much of that is don't get ripped off, Rusty, is how much fraud is going on? Because I know that you've been in here a couple times since this whole, I guess, the bust, for lack of a better term, the bust in the real estate market has happened. And originally there was an enormous amount of fraud. And then those of us who have been paying even the slightest bit of attention, the federal government has put forth some regulations and investigations to try and reduce it. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand now with fraud for those people who might be close to foreclosure but are working themselves safe, and for folks like that who really have no reason to foresee any foreclosure letters at all?
Personally, in the Charlottesville area, I have not seen it. So I can't speak to it within our market. I'm actually looking at a New York Times article right now where New York Attorney General Cuomo is filing a lawsuit against a company that he perceives to be a loan modification scam. So I think that in all things, and I'll answer it broadly, is I think that if you believe you're a target of a scam, then you should certainly ask some questions I think the PHA is one of the, and locally is Piedmont Housing Alliance, is one of the best resources we have to get advice from and to get counseling from, because they are most attuned to counseling people with these sorts of situations. And I think that, again, I think the old adage, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. You know, apply that with some common sense and pull the fear out of it, because people are fearful in this market about what might happen to them financially and emotionally and, you know, from their family perspective. Try and pull the fear out and look at it from a logical way, if at all possible.
Right, and it sounds like it might work both ways. If it's too good to be true, but if it's too bad to be true, then you know, watch out for that scam.
On Rusty's case, I wouldn't be surprised if another letter comes in 15 days saying, "I hear you're facing foreclosure. Pay us $3,000, and we'll get you out of it." So it's I think that some healthy suspicion and cynicism can go a long way.
979-0919, dial us up. We've gotten a couple across the internet. We have somebody asking questions while they're here in the studio. If you don't have either of those options, use your phone. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. We've been talking the last couple moments talking about the federal government. Somebody asked a question before we even got started about tax credit, $8,000 versus $15,000. That means nothing to me. So explain that a little bit.
First and foremost, there's the $8,000 tax credit that is available to anybody who has not been a homeowner for the last 3 years. So if you buy and close on a home prior to, I believe it's November 1st, you are eligible to receive that $8,000 tax credit from the federal government. And they've also recently have established rules by which people are able to monetize that, meaning that they can apply that $8,000 instead of waiting for their tax returns. They're able to apply that $8,000 immediately to their closing costs. So, I think that's a lot of my buyers have been very well attuned to that. And that's certainly not the reason that they are buying homes, but it's certainly, you know, it's free money, as I'm doing money in air quotes here in the studio. It's free money from the federal government for buying a house. And the $15,000, there has been talk recently in Congress of making that taking that $8,000 and essentially doubling it to $15,000. I'm not sure how much legs that has in Congress, but it's certainly something that is going to impact people in a positive way. And it also, we saw earlier this year when the discussion was there originally about the $15,000 proposal, I had buyers, and I read about buyers who were holding off purchasing because they wanted to see what money was going to come down the line from the government. So I think it's certainly something that is out there in the market right now, the $8,000 versus $15,000. I think that, you know, if you're going to buy a home, you should certainly be aware of the $8,000 if you're a first-time home buyer. But I don't think it's going to be that thing that's going to say, you know what, I'm tired of renting. I want to go buy a house because I can get $8,000 in free money. So it is an incentive. You know, my opinion is, you know, pulling out the market perspective is that anytime the government starts to meddle with and manipulate the market, we're probably in for trouble.
Explain to me. I understand why there are incentives for buying a car. Mm-hmm. I mean, we read every day, we hear every day about what's happening in Detroit, and with the number of car dealerships being closed down. So my incentive to buy the car is $2,000 or $3,000.
Right.
And that's for a, we'll say, $20,000 purchase.
Right.
Why am I potentially receiving an $8,000 incentive to buy a home? Who is that helping? I can see why it's helping, you know, everybody in Detroit. You know, the three big car dealerships, General Motors is, you know, possibly going bankrupt, Chrysler, you know, with everything going there. I understand, and $3,000 in comparison to 20 seems a lot lesser than $8,000 in comparison to 2.
Right.
And I'm not sure what the purpose is.
You know, you look at closing costs when you buy a new home, and you know, median house price is anywhere from $275 to $345, $350. And my rule of thumb is that the closing costs generally are going to be 3% of the purchase price, which is a pretty good, you know, assuming there are no points paid on the mortgage, is a good rule of thumb that's fairly general. So you look at that $300,000 purchase price, and your closing costs are going to be about $9,000, give or take. So theoretically, that $8,000 would cover your closing costs. So if you don't have that cash, and now that's been monetized, if you don't have that $9,000 in cash at closing, then you could directly apply that $8,000 from the federal government and, you know, buy a house with $8,000 less of your own cash up front. So it is an incentive designed to, again, to be redundant, to incentivize people to consider buying a home. So the percentage there between the $2,000 for a $20,000 car and the $8,000 for a $300,000 home is certainly a bit disparate. But I think that, I think the $8,000, even though I can rationalize it being equated to closing cost, my opinion is that it's probably just an arbitrary number that was designed to get a bill passed through Congress.
1140 here on the Wake Up Call with Jim Duncan. Dial us up or send us an email. Or I guess it's an instant message. Better send us an instant message. Dial us up with a question or a comment.
Are you on Twitter?
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, Cree Deeds won the recent Democratic primary for governor, and with less money than either opponent, but can he win the big race in November? The Hook takes a look. There's exhaustion and muscle soreness and little bits of memory loss. Isn't that age? It can be Lyme disease. And The Hook takes a look at a citizen living with it. And the Chesapeake Bay's pollution problems aren't a result of just big corporations dumping their junk into the water. We're all guilty, and SAS offers some simple changes to help save the bay. The Hook, inside, outside, and all around Charlottesville. And Blue Ridge Graphics is with us here today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and online, brgtshirts.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon, it's Les Temps Purdue with Drew Thompson, bringing you the best from college, alternative, and underground scenes since the 80s and 90s. Les Temps Purdue at noon, only on WNRN. Jim Dungan, you said something about Twitter. Can people Twitter you in the show?
Sure. I'm watching my Twitter feed right now. Twitter.com/Jim Dungan.
How up to date is that?
Twitter?
Yeah. Well, I'm still working off a modem living back in the woods. You know, you were talking about getting, you know, interoptic. I'm like, wow. I got a letter in the mail, within the last month or two about how I can now sign up for DSL, and I call Embark up right away. I'm like, yes, please. Like, oh, we shouldn't have sent you that. Sorry, that was a mistake on our part. You people.
It's been extraordinary looking at Twitter and how it's impacting the local world, in that it's bringing people together from very diverse perspectives, and we have meetups every couple weeks or months. But really, right now for me, Twitter is—it's been extraordinary watching what's happening in Iran, because Twitter's been one of the things that is most influencing the ability of the people there to get the word out about what's really happening. So it's ridiculous how up to date and real it is, and unverified in most, if not many, instances, at least from the Iranian point of view. But it's real time search. It's a real time happening. What's happening locally in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the world.
People can Twitter Jim Dungan.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter.
And ask a question or make your comment that way as well, at least with this guest. Not always.
No,
but wake-up call, but at least with this guest, 11:43, as we keep rolling with the real estate marketplace here in the Central Virginia area. Jim Dungan from Nest Realty. Twitter feed, Jim/Jim Dungan.
Twitter.com/Jim Dungan.
I didn't write it down. So it's a real
Central
Virginia,
VA.
Real Central VA. Is the blog. And it's a very interesting blog. Check it out. See, but I just have it located on my favorites, so I don't have to type it in every time. Are the mortgage rates going to go down anytime soon or go up? Because a lot of people said that one of the causes of the economic fiasco that we're having right now was that the mortgage rates were too low. The prime lending rate was far too low.
Mm-hmm. I think that, again, with the caveat that I'm not a lender, nor is my crystal ball as clear as I would like, I do read quite a bit. And some of the stuff that I'm reading now says that, one, that they're projected to go lower again in the near future, and also that traditionally they are higher in the summer, as go gas prices, go the mortgage rates. So just be aware of what's happening. But I think that, again, it's in context of the, I look at housing as being something that people should look, regard in not months, but years, if not decades. And so, because it's a long-term decision. And I think that in context of where interest rates have been, 5.5%, 6%, even if they're, my first house was 8.125%, and I thought that was really low. So I think that, 6%, 5.5%, 5.25% is still really, really low for people who are looking to buy a house. So my parents are still realtors, and they were selling homes in the early 80s when it was 18-19%. So it's, 6% is not so bad. It certainly does make a difference in someone's mortgage payment when they're looking at 5.5% versus 6.5%. But it's not the end of the world to have a mortgage rate that's in the single digits. But yeah, I think that the argument has been made many times that the artificially low interest rates were one of the driving forces of the real estate boom.
Here's an instant message question. WNRN Studio is our instant message site. Compare the number of sellers versus buyers.
Oh, that's a big question. I'd say that, you know, you look at the data right now, and there are more sellers than there are buyers. And I think that the inventory of homes on the market now demonstrates that, and the number of buyers out there shows that as well. That being said, there are a ton of buyers out there who are really and truly looking in earnest every day and every week for the right home to purchase. So there are, you know, while there are fewer buyers than there are sellers, and we are still looking for that balance in the market, don't think that there are not buyers out there today who are looking to buy a house.
But what do you represent more of? I mean, I won't ask if you have a specialty, but do you represent someone looking to buy a house more than someone looking to sell a house?
I'd say my business this year has been about 50-50, give or take. I mean, in some years it's been 70-30, and some it's been 30-70. This year I've been marketing equal number of homes that have been helping buyers to buy. And I think that it's, for me, selling a home is fun, because we market homes, our signs, I think, have to plug our signs. I think they're really phenomenal. But I think selling a home is more systematic than is buying a home. When I'm helping buyers to buy, it's a heck of a lot more work. It's much more time consuming, and it's more emotional, frankly, for both parties. But it's more rewarding to help a family or couple or person buy a home, because then I'm going to see them in 3, 5, 7 years, and a lot of us become friends. And seeing the kids grow up, seeing that 15-month-old when they bought a house, and now I see that kid who's 8 years old, that's a lot more rewarding for me. It's a nice balance between the two. Selling a home is systematic, and we have our systems in place of how to sell a home. And first and foremost, it's price, and then everything else falls in line behind that. But helping the buyers is a lot more fun.
Well, let me talk a minute. 11:48 here on the Wake Up Call with Jim Duncan, talking about the local real estate market. A couple of questions about being a seller. I mean, if it's systematic, one of the things that I saw a couple months ago, I was going to meet a friend who is trying to sell their home, and they had a talking house.
Yeah.
So that when you drove by it, and you, well, tell people what a talking house is and its benefits.
It's a
if and any negatives there might be.
I can't think of the negatives right now. I mean, I think that having a talking house is something that I have not seen as widespread. I mean, there are one or two realtors
here
who do.
Tell folks what that is.
There's a sign in front of the house that's for sale, and it has a talking house emblem. And inside the house is a radio transmitter with a 90-second commercial describing the house. And I think it's a pretty neat concept, because people can drive by and see, what and listen to what the house is all about. I think it takes what we're seeing now beyond that is, I haven't seen this here yet. We're thinking about it, but barcoding signs. So people with iPhones can go up and scan the barcode on the sign and pull the information in. I think that you're seeing some that are having text messages. You can drive by the sign and text message and get all the data sent to you to your phone. We're seeing the talking house is a step in the evolution of real-time instantaneous answers to finding out information. And we're seeing it. Everything is faster. It's ironic that the demand for information is that everything has to be as close to real time as possible in a market where homes are taking months to sell. So it's one of the various ways to market a home.
And one of the things that caught my attention about it, because sometimes I just don't want to bother people, and I don't want to be bothered mm-hmm. by it. And I am not buying a house, and I had no interest in buying this house. But as I was sitting there waiting for them, I'm just listening, and this sign, this radio transmitter from the wife of the couple that owns the house, is telling me what's inside.
Right.
And obviously it's all said in a very positive and upbeat manner. But, it only has 1.5 bathrooms? That's not going to work for me. Or something else. So I didn't have to take the time as a potential buyer. I wouldn't have to take the time to go through this house to find out something I didn't want. Or, you know, obviously you can look and see that 1.5 baths might not interest you, but let's say it had 2 baths. Oh, my family, that would be great. 1 bath is downstairs. That's not going to work. I need, you know, both bathrooms attached to the bedrooms or something like that. And I also wouldn't have to go inside and should give away any emotions, because you mentioned earlier how emotional purchasing a house can be.
Right.
That might alter the price that I want to give or pay or that they're willing to accept. And I can get started by listening and taking the immediate emotions out of things.
Right. I think that you touched on a trend that is only going to gain speed in the next 6 to 18 months. And that's the movement of real estate search from, you know, my laptop here that I'm looking at now, from the laptop and the desktop computer to the mobile phones, to the iPhones and the, for to lesser degree, the Blackberries. But I think that the iPhone development is really, or the iPhone's emergence as the dominant platform for mobile display of real estate listings is really driving the need for people to have their information as readily accessible from the sign and from the website, et cetera, into a handheld display of information. Because people want to drive up to the house and click a button and see what it's all about. So I think that we're looking at real-time marketing of homes.
979-0910. If you want to ask your question by phone, which apparently today is all out of date because we walked in with some. Rusty's here with his question in the studio. I've gotten a couple over the WNRN studio instant message screen. You can still dial up. In fact, apparently I taunted someone to doing so. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Question?
Question. Well, kind of a comment. When you were saying that you're listening to the Talking House and it says that there are only 1.5 bathrooms, the question might arise, okay, could I turn that half bath into a full bath? And is this a location I really love and it's in my price range? So I'm not sure that just listening to that Talking House and then discarding it because of one of those facts is necessarily in your best interest.
Jim?
That's my comment.
All right, thanks.
Great point. I think that buyers today are seeing that a lot of buyers now are seeing the vision of the home. That they're able to go up and they say, yeah, it's only 1.5 baths, but if I get it, if they're asking 200, and I'm making these numbers up, if they're asking 200 and we get it for 185 or 190, we could add that half bath on the back and make it into a home that we're going to be happy with. I mean, I think that it does go back to, as she said, the location is crucial. Because if that house doesn't have exactly what you want, but it's in the location within walking distance of schools and parks, and proximity to parks is something that more buyers are asking for, at least in my world. If you have that 1.5 bath, but you could put on that second bath, I think it's something that is certainly worth considering, because somebody, one, that buyer may have more vision than the next, and they may be able to get the house at a better price because there's less activity strictly because of that reduced interest. So I think it's a good point.
Let me take a moment and thank 405fix.com for letting Jim Duncan from Nest Realty be with us today. If you have a home improvement project, maybe taking that half bath and making it into a full bath. There's another way to find a contractor. It's 405fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no obligation estimates available anytime. That's 405fix.com, the number 4 and the number 5 and the word fix.com. And this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Spitfire Amherst Lynchburg. With about 5 minutes left, Jim Duncan from Nest Realty in the studio as we talk about the real estate marketplace. Jim, being a buyer,
mm-hmm.
there's that potential tax credit. You have a lot of new people out there. But what if you've already purchased a home before? When you're a new first-time buyer, I think that everyone who's been there, or even those who are there now, can say that there's an awful lot of nervousness in the system. You ask everyone you know, your friends, your family, any experts, what do I do? What's the order I do it? How do I do it? But for someone who's done this once before, at least there's a certain sense of, okay, I know what I'm doing. But how have things changed in the system you know, I'm going to go buy a home now because the market is right for the buyer. But what's changed? What's different for me?
Conceptually, it's still the same. You're still buying, as I like to tell my buyers in an attempt to pull the emotions out, you're still buying a pile of sticks. So you're still buying that house. But one of the things that has changed in the last several years is that the way people are finding houses is fundamentally changed. You know, 85-87% of people look online for homes. I mean, they're not looking, in my opinion, they're not looking for print. They're not looking for that little, you know, one small picture and three lines of text. They're looking online, and they want to see, buyers want to see everything with that's in the house. So I think that how people search is a crucial change. But again, the process is still the same. But I think that actually one thing that is different is I'm seeing more buyers are searching for a buyer's agent before they really embark on the search process for real, because a lot of people are recognizing that they need somebody to represent their best interests.
You need an expert on your side.
Right. Because if you call the listing agent, that listing agent is not representing your best interest. They're representing the seller's best interest. So I think that the reemergence of buyer's agents, necessity almost, is something that is very different. You know, I had a client tell me 2 weeks ago, I didn't know I was supposed to look for a buyer's agent first. And I think that in my opinion, if I were to buy a house today, I would hire a buyer's agent, not me, because, you know, I'm not competent enough to represent myself. I need somebody to look out for me who's impartial, who's going to be looking for that. So I think that's a real difference in the buyer market. But, you know, you're still getting a loan. I think that you're getting back to having to put money down. You know, people are looking more at the 30-year fixed, which is the traditional standard within the industry. You're still buying a house that has, three bedrooms, two baths. You're still buying the same stuff. So the process is pretty much the same from a getting into the nitty-gritty. But getting to the point of making an offer is fundamentally different.
We only have about a minute and a half left. Well, what about the other side? Has the seller's part changed any? Or what is, because you talk about how it's different to buy it, how you look for it, what's changed for the seller side of things?
The display of information online is, again, if you haven't bought a house in the last 5 to 7 years, the way you market a home today is very, very different. Well, not different. It's just more. More pictures of the inside, more pictures of the outside, more overlays of maps, more what's nearby. You want to answer all the questions that potential buyers might have. I think that it's incumbent upon sellers. One point that I've tried to make a number of times is when their house is finally on the market, it's in the MLS, it's online everywhere, it's incumbent upon the sellers to double check what their hired representation is doing. Because it's one of my pet peeves, and I'm writing a story about it tomorrow, is poor pictures online. When sellers allow bad photographs to go online that is ostensibly representing their best interest, they're failing in their obligation as a motivated seller.
People seem to be buying from their chair.
Yeah. We're not to the point now where more people are buying, you know, but in California without ever visiting the house.
Or discarding, like the caller said. I'm discarding before I ever really check to see if it's what I want.
Yeah, and I think that's a crucial point there. I mean, I think that if you're not presenting an honest and thorough opinion of the house online, it's the seller's obligation ultimately to follow up with their representation. So, you know, the answer to the question of how are sellers marketing homes differently? More everything.
All right. Jim Duncan from Nest Realty. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Rick.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you very much.
And your family. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there who are listening. Drew Thompson up next with Les Temsverdu. Next week, we'll be talking about how to get a job and what that's like for people recently out of school. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.